set aside their feud in order to have lunch. Though I'm really saying in this case there seems to be more alcohol available than you generally find in Ramallah. And I know that, like Tony Blair, I will achieve precisely nothing. I cannot hope to bring peace between you, and nor, frankly, do I really want to, because I think we sometimes forget in this country how the events that seem most embarrassing to us are often the very phenomena that most excite the love and admiration of the rest of the world. We see parliamentary scandal. The world sees a country so punctilious that we jail our MPs for trying to pass their speeding points to their wives. We see police bungling. They see a capital city that is patrolled with such growing impartiality towards every community that we detain people just for lurking in the shrubberies of Buckingham Palace, even if they turn out to be the Duke of York and the son of the reigning monarch. We cringe to read in our beloved Daily Telegraph that MPs have been on yet another junket to the fleshpots of Albania. And the rest of the world wonders vaguely what financial benefit could possibly accrue to anyone from knowing the mayor of anywhere, let alone the mayor of Tirana. Day after day, we read of this nightmarish, fratricidal conflict between journalists and politicians, from the expenses scandal to the hacking trial that's currently going on. And we think it's a bit of a nightmare, don't we? Well, the rest of the world looks on and it thinks, fantastic, wonderful. What an absolutely fantastic place to live. And they come in droves. They come not just because of the bikes and the beautiful new Route Master buses and the many, many Michelin-starred restaurants that we have in great number than Paris, and the sensational cable car that will pay for itself faster than any other piece of transport infrastructure in this city. And absolutely true. And the greatest Olympic and Paralympic Games ever held, and the lowest murder rate for 40 years, and crime coming down by 13% over the last 5 years, pick a period entirely at random. They come because they know from this feud that we incarnate here that we uphold in London and indeed in this country the rule of law. Not through any congenital virtue of the British people, but because our ruling classes are daily scoured and purged and invigilated and disinfected by a still pretty rampant free press. And for 2 centuries, or more, getting on for 2 centuries anyway, there's been one magazine that has incarnated that key virtue of fearlessness, Fraser. One magazine that is heroically refusing to kowtow to the bullying forces and get rid of one magazine that continues to employ Tarky, I'm glad to say, and that has told the Privy Council to stick its charter in the Privy. And I congratulate you, and I join Andrew Neil, who spoke eloquently earlier on, and congratulate you, Fraser, on what you have done. I urge all other editors here to follow the Spectator's lead. And when they, I think overseas buyers, overseas investors, when they see what the Spectator is doing, then they come from less free and less fortunate countries. And it's no wonder, therefore, that they fall with such harpy-like rapacity on London and indeed on the Spectator. And you can see why this very popularity has become a cause of anxiety to some native people in this city. And I have heard people rightly complain that there are many parts of this city where their children have not a hope of finding a Spectator as they used to 20 years ago. And they point out that cover prices have soared from £2.20 when I was editor to a dizzying £3.50 today. And as far as I can see, Fraser is doing the logical thing, aren't you, Fraser? We're doing the absolute logical thing, which is doing exactly what we are doing in housing, which is massively increasing supply. That is the free market answer to the problem. That is the logical answer to the problem. And the spectator does not discriminate against foreign millionaires, does it? It would be a bit off if they did, since a Greek millionaire is the magazine's longest-serving and most popular columnist. On the contrary, the strategy appears to be to flood the internet with every square inch of your coruscating copy, or digital assets, as we must now call it in deference to Andrew. And I congratulate you on being a world leader in digital penetration, Andrew. So as you have described us, and so that every young Londoner has a chance to find a Spectator at or near their place of work. And I hope, therefore, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, I will not be accused of being out of touch. If I say that for most people in our city, the Spectator is therefore now cheaper than ever before. And therefore, we can go forward into the next election, my friends, and right Miliband. And right Miliband with a promise of more homes, more jobs, a growing economy, better transport, lower long-term energy bills. Is that not right? And absolutely right, because we're going to be investing in them, unlike Miliband, and more affordable spectators for all. That is what I congratulate this magazine on. And in so doing, we will keep London's politics clean and lengthen the lead of our city as the greatest city on earth. Thank you very much to The Spectator for having us along for this fantastic lunch. And on now with the awards. Thank you very much.